When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Get the first word in. You thought I was gonna let you. You're all excited.
You got so mad that show that I started.
Remember that, Jake, when the old hen here tried to get the first word in?
How dare she?
I know it.
Please, can we let go of the hen thing?
No.
Please.
It was your idea. Yeah. Yeah. It was, wasn't it, Janice? You should be careful what you put into the world. Well. Huh? Careful what you wish for, eh, buddy?
This is a dangerous room for me.
That's exactly right.
How are you?
I'm good. And I thought that we would talk about how we can be the change that we want to see in the world. It's going to be deep.
Really? Okay. You
ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Very Gandhi.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I that's what Gandhi, I saw in their local poster shop. Saw that.
I saw it in a Ben Kingsley movie.
Oh.
Yeah. No, no.
No.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a poster shop.
A little poster shop. But I thought it was really cool.
Poster shops.
You know.
You have posters in your house?
No.
Do you have like one of Farrah on a car from 1970 in there too? Who has posters in their house? You're an old hen.
Do you have one?
I thought like teenage boys
are
the only ones.
On a car.
Posters in their house. Okay.
You know what I mean. A saying shop. What's it got the neat
What's a
thing?
A saying shop.
A place where you find those things.
How do you go through your life saying and doing these very strange and obscure things?
You know, it's been
like toot toot and wobbly pops and all kinds of. I go to poster shops. Who does that?
You don't say strange things?
I do not. No.
Oh my God. You know, you say odd things.
No, I don't. I say the F word a lot, which I've been working on, but that is a very common saying. That is not obscure, unfortunately.
So maybe we should be the change.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
We're taking this seriously.
Okay.
So I was thinking about this. We're well into January now. And we talk a lot on this show about not getting discouraged and staying positive and always trying to stay in the light. And that's all really important and really great. But when you think about what you want to be different, right? When we think, God, we wish this was different about the world, but let's not get discouraged or bitter about it. I wish that was different, but I don't want to get bitter about it. That's really important, and it's a good attitude to take. But one of the steps or actions that you can employ so that you don't get overwhelmed by these sadder, sorrier moments in life, which are never going to go away, unfortunately, is to do exactly that, is to be that change that you want to see in the world, is to embody that energy or that positivity that you want to see. And of course, you know, this stuff is infectious. It's a very dynamic energy and attitude. And when you behave in such a way, you live your life in that light, it touches others, it motivates them accordingly, and it helps to set the intention for your world around you. And I thought we might talk about a couple different ways that you can do that, how you can be that change that you want to see. And one of the first things is to really pay attention to what we put our attention on. So what I mean by that is, gosh, I wish I could remember this analogy. There was, you could take a story about somebody. Oh, here we go. I'll give you a real life story. So a friend of mine was mugged the other day. And they took her purse, right? And they got her passport, her license, a gift card, this bag that she loved. And, you know, not a wealthy woman. She'd had this one bag that she'd spent money on and was super excited about it. And anyway, I said to her, I was like, oh, my gosh, Paige, what the heck? How does bad stuff seem to find you? My goodness, you poor baby. And she goes, what are you talking about? She goes, I'm so lucky. And I was like, what are you talking about, weirdo? You just got mugged. And she's like, yeah, but I didn't get shot. I didn't get hit. The guy said, please. I swear to God, it was the most. He's like, please don't look at me. Please lay down on the ground. Please hand me your bag. And she's like, okie dokie. And, you know, gave her him. He, the guy had a gun. But he wasn't like, hey, you know, bitch, give me your, you know, he wasn't like a scary, monstrous. I'm sure the whole thing was awful, but if you're going to get mugged, you know, she was very positive about the way in which she was mugged. She, you know, he didn't take several of her other bags, which was weird. She was getting out of a cab and going into her house. So she had bags with her, and one of them had her computer in it and everything. And she called, you know, she made the calls and this and that to her credit unions and all of this, and at a minor inconvenience, was able to replace the things that were gone, except the bag, which I think she's pretty unhappy about. But my point is, I was like, oh my gosh, this sucks. Gosh, this would piss me off. I would be in a dark place for a few days over this, just because it's like, what's, you know, where's the humanity, and you know, sure, what's the world coming? I would definitely have one of those moments. And she was like, I'm so lucky. And when you think about it, what we put our intention on grows. It really does. And we talk a lot about your perception on things, your perspective on things. A failure, for example, do you look at it and go, oh, I'm such a failure. I'm so weak. I'm so stupid. I'm so incapable. Or do you go, all right, we've got an opportunity here to learn something, an opportunity for growth. We've got a blank slate ahead of us to recreate something new and fresh. Where you focus your attention and upon what you focus your intention is going to play a really dramatic part in how your life plays out. So the next time that something bad happens, look for the opportunity in it. Look and see how you got lucky, how the situation ended up going in your favor. And honestly, if you can't figure it out, and sometimes in life we just can't, we can't go, oh, you know what? There was a blessing in disguise here. Mm-hmm. Create it, and we've talked about this a lot, create meaning in that setback or that sad thing. One of the stories that I like to tell is about John Walsh. You know this story, right? Mm-hmm. I've told this story on the show before about a guy who, this story is the most disgusting. He lost his son. His son was murdered by a raving lunatic. And ultimately, this man started America's Most Wanted.
Right.
In response to it. And put millions of bad guys and scumbags, well, not millions, but thousands away. It was actually Fox's longest running show, John Walsh. Oh. So if you can't see that you're lucky, because in some cases we're just not, I get that. If you can't find your way into that frame of mind, create a meaning for it so that you are growing and you are learning. And that is how you can survive those setbacks and those harder times. But really be mindful on where you're allowing yourself to get spun. So, you know, we can have a bad day. Someone can cut us off on the freeway and we can sit there and ruminate on that forever. And think about how much energy we're wasting. It's not getting you anywhere. Think about the guy that let you into traffic 20 minutes prior to that. Or even, I had a fight with a friend last year, and it was so discouraging. And I was just like, gosh, you know, we go through this cycle again and again, me and this friend, and this is frustrating. And I was annoyed for days and disappointed. And one of my other friends was like, hey, idiot, just to be clear, you know, you're going to Paris with six of your best friends who love you to death and take great care of you and think the world of you and consider you family. So why don't you focus on that instead of ruminating about this one friend who you can't seem to see eye to eye with? And I realized I was putting all my attention on what was broken or what was bothering me. And it's important to look at those things and see if you can fix them. But when you just kind of wallow or you mire in something, mire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mire? You get mire.
Mire, yeah? Oh, thank God. See, I am smart. shut up, old hen. So if you wallow or mire in something.
Mired.
Mired?
I think it's mired. I think the term, you're mired.
Okay.
I'll check with our people.
What people?
We don't have any people.
What people are going to...
I'm the people.
Son of Bruce Paul. Look that word up. Okay.
Yeah.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
Moving on. Focus your attention on the positive. Okay. Next one. Now, this one has to do with the company that we keep. And I read something that I thought was kind of interesting. I wanted to read it to you guys. You ready, Janice?
I'm ready.
Okay. We are relational beings. To meet an old friend is to access memories otherwise lost. And in that meeting, we help co-create one another's thoughts and feelings through what we are through. Shoot.
No, it's okay. I'm with you.
Ready? And in that meeting, we help co-create one another's thoughts and feelings through what are called mirror neurons. These neurons, which are outside of our conscious control, allow us to literally feel another person's emotions and are likely the key to empathy. We also connect with others through our electromagnetic fields and even our intentions. So who we are in any given moment is not entirely up to us. And of course, some people know us in some ways better than we know ourselves. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, yes, we do have control, obviously, over ourselves and the way we behave. But I got to say, like, for example, have you ever been around somebody who has a preconceived notion of you and it affects the way you behave or the way that you think?
Certainly. And I can see it more so with you because you're a public figure.
Or even family, though. Have you ever noticed you go home and you get around your parents and you start to feel like, oh, my gosh, how is this possible? I'm a 37-year-old and I feel like I'm a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get around somebody who was an older sibling. I don't have an older sibling. I am the older sibling. But they begin to treat you like you're that younger sibling again. Even on the doctors, I hate to say this because I really did love the actual doctors. I thought they were lovely. But when I was around Travis or the other doctors, I knew that they were like, you're not a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I behaved in such a way where I was having to do segments and then I was having to like look at them like, you okay with that? You all right with that? And it's because it was like in that moment, their thoughts about me or my credentials were affecting the way that I was behaving. And when I, you know, when I was no longer on the show, I had to do segments for press about fried foods. And all of a sudden it was just me again. Or even when we do our podcast, it's in, and I'm like, I have spent years studying this stuff. What am I doing? Like,
yeah.
But when you're around people who have an idea of you, which, by the way, is usually their own projection, but nevertheless, it can have a dramatic impact on you and the way that you behave. I would get around my dad and all my evolution would go right out the window. I'd be a furious child again who felt trapped and bullied and powerless, mm-hmm. despite the fact that in truth, I'm a 37-year-old woman who has been taking care of myself since I was 17 years old, who's a successful businesswoman, who has created many healthy relationships. But boy, I would get around my dad and all that would go out the window. All of it. So one of the things I want you to think about is First of all, communicating with the people in your life about the things that you want to be different, about the change that you want to occur so you can co-opt their health. What is wrong with me today?
Nothing.
Can't get a cent. Oh, you're being supportive.
Yeah.
Don't be supportive, old hen, because I don't want to have to be nice to you.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
All right.
It's help. The word's help.
And don't help me either. Gosh.
So
try to be the good guy.
So be around the people.
Right. Be around people. Well, first communicate your needs to the people around you so that you can co-opt their support and their strength. You know, make it a we problem, not an I problem.
Right.
You know, get the benefit of their expertise and their knowledge and get them on the same page. So if you want to lose weight, they know that you want to lose weight and they're not taking you out for pizza.
Right. Gotcha.
And then give them the tools to help you. Mom, who loves you with food and makes you a bunch of junk food. You know, it would really help me if you could find me a healthy recipe for grilled cheese or a healthy recipe for cookies or... Tell them what you need and give them the tools to support you. Get them on the same page as you. And also address unhealthy dynamics, but not in a way of assigning blame. You treat me like I'm a child. No, because don't forget that it's a two-way street, that we play a part in that dynamic.
I allow myself to be treated
right.
Like a child.
That's it. Yeah. But it could be, you know, sometimes when we hang out, I feel like this. And I think part of our dynamic is creating that. Part of it's me, part of it's you. But maybe when we're together... You could address me as follows, or we could avoid this subject matter, or maybe you don't correct me about the way I raise my kids or what I'm doing with my finances or, you know, whatever it might be. Again, talk to somebody about that unhealthy dynamic and then give them the tools. Tell them how you'd like to be treated so it can change. And ultimately, if you're around somebody that doesn't make you feel good, stop being around them.
Yeah.
And that's what I did with that one friend. I looked at all these years and I thought, gosh, you know, I'm constantly feeling like I'm the one trying. I'm the one making the effort. I'm the one reaching out and it's not reciprocated unless it's convenient or it's an offer that can't be refused.
Right.
And I thought I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't. And even though it was upsetting, I cut off the dynamic. And I was like, as much as I love you, I can't do this with you anymore. I can't have this type of relationship with you anymore. So I'm gonna pull myself out of this scenario. And it wasn't that I didn't give a lot of opportunities to communicate. I did. But because of that person's limitations, we were going in circles.
Yep.
And when you continue to go in circles, it's like I would bring up my problems and then it would become about me victimizing them. Then I would become the bad guy. Mm-hmm. We all have that relationship. I know we all do, where you go, you know, I feel like this, this, and this. And it's like, you abandoned me. You attacked me. And it becomes then you hurt them.
Yep.
So I wasn't getting anywhere. And when you start to find that, okay, this is not going in my favor. The good is not outweighing the bad here. I don't feel good in this dynamic. I'm not able to make progress or change. I've spoken my mind. I've looked at the role that I'm playing in it, and it's not progressing. That's when you might want to reconsider that relationship and start making new friends. Or, you know.
I know. But it's hard. It takes a lot of courage to say to somebody, you know, I don't like the way you say that. That takes courage because we do risk. It's a risk you take. It's a risk that person's going to accept it, tell you to F off,
yeah.
Whatever they're going to do. So it takes courage, but,
true.
But I do believe.
True,
I do. I
and
do
delivery
believe
is key. Remember to set yourself up for success the way you say it. What in the world?
I'm not saying anything because.
Then what is wrong with me? You're sabotaging me.
Well,
did you put a curse on me?
No, but maybe
can't get a sentence out of
you. Need to get a little more rest before you come in to do the program. I'm just saying.
You're saying I look old and tired.
No, I don't think you look old and tired. But sometimes. Sometimes I think you put a little bit too much on your plate.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue.
Yeah.
Next one.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, third and final.
Good. Yeah. No, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Did you guys hear this? You hear this abuse?
I'm ready for this one.
When I Oh, you're trying to imitate now my stutter for today. Oh, is
no,
that what
I wasn't.
You're
doing? No, I just.
I'm ready for this one? Oh. Is that what you're doing? You can step out at any given minute, and Son of Bruce Paul and I will continue the show. Isn't that right, Jake?
We will continue.
Yeah.
You know,
without the old hen.
You know what? I could hurt you so easy.
You say that all the time, but let's not forget old hen.
No, but well, seriously.
Spring chicken.
Yeah, but you know what?
Old hen.
I'm feisty, and I could take you. I really do.
I highly doubt it.
Save it for the video.
Okay, number three. While
he's
I
right.
Get,
he's
I
right.
Get ready to take you
okay,
down.
Number three.
Yeah.
Environment. Mm. Easiest thing to change, by the way, because remember, things don't talk back. But when you set up your environment for success, you're gearing yourself for exactly that, success. But when, let's say, for example, again, we'll use dieting. You've got a bunch of junk food in the house and you've got the television on and the commercials are triggering you to eat. Gosh, I mean, I can think of a million things that sabotage me when it comes to food. But you've got... you know, whatever, the place is a mess, you haven't cleaned up, and it makes you feel overwhelmed. Whenever my house is messy, I feel so overwhelmed and frustrated, and it can make me want to eat something because I'm just like, oh my gosh, the house is a mess, I feel so overwhelmed, I feel so scattered, and I want to eat something to calm down.
Yeah.
Which is crazy as that sounds, you just sort of like, ah, you need a minute of respite. Set your environment up for success, whatever that might be. So, you know the rules. Keep it neat, keep it tidy, keep it positive. But more specifically, if you want to work out, leave your exercise shoes by the door. You're more prone to grab them and go. Get rid of the junk food in the house and surround yourself with healthy foods. TiVo your television shows so that you can fast forward through the commercials that gear you to eat. Set up vision boards around the house that remind you of the goals that you want to achieve with aspirational images. Play music that's... very upbeat, so it's going to make you less inclined to eat. Control your environment.
Get yourself to the local poster shop and get yourself a poster. That's now there is a nice tie-in, I think. That wraps that up in a nice little ribbon, I think. Because you were saying surround you, and I earlier said the poster shop. And I can't think of a better way to just wrap that up. to tie it in a...
What poster were you buying?
I was trying to get the Mother Teresa saying. There's a Mother Teresa one, and I can't recall it right now, but...
You were trying to buy a poster. You don't even know what it is.
Well, I saw it in the hair saloon. And so, and then I thought.
Saloon?
Oh, I see.
A saloon's a bar.
A hair salon. When I say saloon. Trying to be funny. A local hair saloon. That's a real kicker, Janice. Anyway, so hair salon. And I saw this thing of Mother Teresa. And I went, oh, that's really cool.
Jake is entertained. I'm looking at Jake. And Jake is, he is smiling at the hair saloon. So it wasn't a total wash.
So anyway, but I think that I just
what was the saying though?
I can't remember. It was something
Janice, we all want to know.
Well, I have to go to the saloon and find out. I can't remember. But I just know if I see it, I'll see it. It's gone. Don't force me to go back.
You ever heard of
back.
Google?
we got to end this segment.
Okay. I'm sure we do.
We'll be right back.
One of these days, the ground will drop out from beneath your feet. One of these days, your heart will stop and play its final beat.
Go ahead, Jake. Make your announcement.
Jillian Michaels' podcast announcement. Jillian was correct. Mired is the correct term.
I said mired. She
no.
said mired.
Mire. Right? Mire. Oh, what is it?
A mire is an area of wet, soggy, muddy ground.
Oh, crap. Oh, right. I'm mire
but,
yourself.
But the
wet
term
and soggy,
is mired.
The term is mired.
Oh, Jake, you
a mire is also a disadvantageous or difficult condition or situation.
Oh, mire, but mire. We're both right.
So it is a mire or you are mired.
Aha, right.
And you could also say, look at how pretty I look in the mire.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with her?
Okay. Who's the pretty girl in the mire there? Who could that attractive girl be? Such a pretty face, such a pretty smile, such a pretty too.
She's dancing right now.
My mom used to sing that to me.
Such a what? Who's the pretty girl in the mire?
In the mirror. No, I'm
sorry. Oh, in the mirror.
Yeah. Oh, you like you did? Oh, my God. This show is going to hell in a handcart. This is the oddest show we've ever done.
Add that to the Janice Dictionary.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
None of us are communicating. Absolutely none of us are communicating.
No, Jake and I get each other just fine. Jake, Do you know what the heck she was just saying?
Well, she also just said Helena handcart. I think it's handbag.
It is a hand basket, yeah.
Oh, hand basket.
Hand basket. Helena hand. No, you're right. Handbag. Handbag? Helena handbag.
Handcart.
You don't go to Helena friggin' handbag. Okay? Wait, Helena handcart. You know why?
Handbag.
It's
not handcart. It's either hand basket or bag.
Look, you doughheads. I'm telling you. A handcart to hell. That's where you go deep into the ground. When you're a miner,
uh-huh.
You take a hand cart of coal and you go down, you punch, you know, you go up and down, like in the cartoons, into the mine. Uh-huh. Mine is going into hell.
Yours is going into hell. I'm going to just see if I can recruit a little help. But anyway, what Jake was saying is that...
Oh, my God. Who are you calling?
I'm just kidding. Hey, G, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
My God.
Complete this sentence. Ready? It's all going to hell in a...
handbasket.
Ah!
Oh!
Ah! Thank you! And good night, sir.
I got it right?
Yeah. Well, of course you did, because that's what I said.
Awesomeness.
All right, love you, bye. Uh-huh. All right. Anyway, moving on.
You do a little show, and okay. I'm going to go out to the Google, the good. Google place.
You
the
do
Google
that.
Machine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I told you. Anyway. Well. anyway, I was flying home, and I pulled a Men's Health, of course, at the. Oh, you're back. Oh, you've decided to come back. Tail between the legs, eh, old hen?
No, I couldn't find a computer to turn on in this whole studio.
Well, I have one right here.
Yeah, well.
I'll turn it on later. I was going to do a segment, though, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, please do.
Thank you. Okay, so this one's called 7 Stupid Simple Ways to Eat Less. I got to be honest, I stripped it from Men's Health.
Okay.
And I tell the truth. But I thought it was kind of cute and clever, and that's why I did it. So one of them, this is kind of silly, but I thought it was cute, and it says to grin yourself thin, which seems so very un-Men's Health-like. But they did a study, apparently, and scientists in Brazil have said that serotonin, which is the happy hormone, reduces your appetite. And higher levels of serotonin help you burn fat. And the more you smile, the more serotonin you release. Isn't that weird? I didn't know that.
No, but I believe it.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You believe it because, of course, it's in Men's Health or because I said it?
No, I believe you.
Good. All right. Ready? This is going to come off the wrong way. Dear God. Crack some nuts. No, Janice. No, don't.
I'm not saying
I teed
anything.
That right up for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Teed it right up for you, didn't
okay,
I?
Crack some nuts.
Okay, but the idea here is that if you're snacking on nuts, to get them in the shell...
Oh, yeah,
like sunflower seeds or pistachio seeds or even like walnuts. My dad used to have a nut cracker. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess it was the late 70s, but like there was a bowl of nuts. How many people do you see with a nut cracker on their table?
When
no one does
put
that.
Bowls of nuts out.
No one does that anymore. It was the late 70s.
Okay.
So anyway, I mean, I'm dating myself here, not you, old hen. So anyway, point being, another little study, and they gave people pistachio nuts, right? And the first group was given shelled pistachio nuts out of the shell, and the second group was given pistachios in the shell. And the ones that were given the nuts already shelled consumed 211 calories, and the group that was given the nuts in the shell consumed 125 calories. Which, of course, you know, the idea here is just that it slows you down.
Yeah.
It's more time consuming. It gives you a minute to register fullness. And then you kind of get over the taste because it takes such a long time to get through the shell.
I believe it.
Okay. Next one. Put a fork in it. You've heard this one before, though. We've talked about this one. Eating with your non-dominant hand.
Oh, yeah.
Because it slows you down.
Yeah.
Same concept. And remember, it takes 20 minutes to register that feeling of fullness. But it's incredible how much food we can pack away in 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know about you, but like I wolf my food down like I am the last man standing in a prison yard. So you'd think I grew up in a pack of wolves. And I also do that thing with the elbow on the table where I lean over the food and shovel it into my mouth. And my friends are like, really? Like, where were you raised?
And I don't
really,
know what
like,
that is, but I
mean, I was an only child for 16 years and I still do it. I mean, it's just fascinating. So with that said, switch hands. And you'll find, again, I've used this analogy a million times. I'm seemingly redundant lately. better work on that. But the idea is, okay. You know, you go to a sushi restaurant, you order a bunch of dishes, and they've ever forgotten something on you. You know, they forgot your spicy tuna, whatever. And you go, oh my gosh, you know, did we ever get the blah, blah, blah order? No, we didn't. I don't want it anymore. Do you? Nah. And you usually cancel it. Well, because the time has passed and that feeling of fullness has registered. So it's an interesting idea to try. You will look totally inept, probably. I wouldn't do it on a date. But something, what?
No.
You don't think it's funny?
No, it's good. It's good advice.
I wasn't trying to be funny, actually. I was giving advice. So instead of you judging my sense of humor.
This is, you know what, why don't we just call this show the fight show? All we've done is fight during the show. Seriously. We've been fighting for, how long are we into the show? For 30 minutes we've been fighting. Let's put an end to this.
Be the
right
change
now.
You want to see in the world, Janice.
We need a bell in here to open the show.
Janice.
All right.
Why don't you be peaceful and Janice is sitting in the corner where she belongs, by the way. All right, I'm going to keep going because I have four more tips to get through.
Okay.
All right? You feel good about it?
Yeah.
All right. Use a cheat plate. This thing's called a portion plate, right? It's $12, which I don't really think you need to do this, but one of the things that you can do is just buy smaller plates, like a set of them, but it's $12. It's called theportionplate.com. And it sections out your little plate for you. So you can see like a quarter of it should be whole grains. Another quarter should be fruits or vegetables. And, you know, half your plate should be fruits and vegetables. A quarter should be meat. A quarter of it should be grains.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I know it's...
But it's like, it's kind of brainless. I mean, the name of this thing is 7 Stupid Simple Ways to Eat Less. So... Why not, eh? What are you gonna, you know, you'll be there with your little tragic plate with all your buddies. This is me and my portion plate. Way to alienate yourself in the home. God forbid, parents do not get this for your kids, though. It's like, hey, you get the dorky plate. All right, here we go. Another one. Add bison to your protein selections. I thought this was kind of interesting, and I have actually done this before. Have you ever had a bison burger? Pretty darn good. And they're actually better for you for obvious reasons because they're grass-fed most often. I've never heard of like a bison feedlot. So they're probably not going to have, the hormones or be corn-fed in the way that conventional feedlot cattle are raised. But a 3-ounce buffalo steak or a burger, it's only 148 calories, 4 grams of fat, and 26 grams of lean protein. Be an early bird. Late risers not only eat more calories, almost 200 more at dinner, and another 375 calories after 8 p.m., but they also eat more unhealthily than those who wake up around 8 a.m. I don't know why that is. That actually doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know that I can buy into this one, but it's a Northwestern University study. The reason I say that is because, like, when I usually have to wake up early, I usually haven't gotten enough sleep, and then I overeat. I think the key to this little tip here, actually, is get your sleep, period. Get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, because when we sleep, we release more of a hormone called leptin, which helps us control our appetite, and when we aren't sleeping, we release more of a hormone called ghrelin, which makes us hungrier. Plus, it also releases more cortisol, which is stress hormone, and cortisol, of course, packs on body fat. And when we are sleeping, in the first several hours of sleep, we release more human growth hormone, which is a really good thing for metabolism. So the more we sleep, the better it is for our overall health and wellness, in particular our metabolism and our levels of hunger. You might notice on those days where you don't sleep, the next day you just can never feel full. So I'm not really buying into this early bird one. I probably shouldn't have read that tip.
No, but you brought up some good points. You brought up some other good points.
Okay. And eat with a significant other or member of the opposite sex. This one I like. So here's what the study said. Men consume 37% less when they eat with a wife or a girlfriend than when they dine out with their buddies, according to researchers at the State University of New York at Buffalo Game College. Huh? That's a bad joke. All right, that's fine. But no, let's just keep moving. So, but I've noticed that, like, whenever I was on a date back in my olden days, you know, when I was a young, frisky person who went on dates, you don't want to, like, wolf dates. Down food.
I find that tip, I don't know, there's something about that one.
No, like...
I like it.
I like it, too. Yeah, I think it's a good one. Anyway, ready for calls, Janice?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Stop us
Let's
from fighting.
Do it.
Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back, and Des is waiting for you.
Hello.
Hi, Jillian.
Hi, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm so happy I get to talk to you. I love you. I've watched you for years.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for calling as well.
Well, I don't think you're going to like my question.
Oh, crap. That's okay. I have to spend time with Janice. Anything is better than... Anything is a welcome distraction. Go ahead, buddy.
So my question is that... Well, I just want to know what I can do to beat fatigue at the end of the workday. I have really low energy when I come home from work. Totally fine on the weekends.
Okay.
But after 6 p.m., I'm miserable. I cannot... Sometimes I have tears coming out of my eyes. I'm so tired.
But, no.
I'm working normal hours. My commute is pretty long, but I'm trying to move from working out just 2 to 3 times a week to 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay.
But when I come home from work, I'm so exhausted. It's really hard for me to, you know.
All right.
Sometimes you just have to push yourself. But I need to know what I'm doing wrong with my diet or...
Okay, hold on. What is the goal? Are you looking to just be healthier or are we looking to lose weight?
The goal really isn't about weight loss.
Okay.
It's about, I need more time to do things that are important to me. If it's going out, I mean, I'm only 29. I would like to go out more than once during the work week, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I get it. Okay. All right. So why, what are the hours like? Explain them to me because you shouldn't be coming home in tears. That to me is like... That's beyond exhaustion. That's like a almost borderline. The only time I've ever woken up and come home in tears is when I was a motion picture packaging agent, and I was effing miserable. So,
okay.
Yeah, are you miserable? Are you tired? Are you both?
I'm not miserable. I don't love my job, but I like it a lot.
Okay. You sure about this?
Yes. I mean... I'm moving into a new position soon, so I'm really excited about changes, but this has been going on since I started working a 9-to-5, sitting at a desk.
Okay. All right, so you're excited about the new position. The current job you like or you tolerate?
I tolerate it because I know it's going to lead to better things.
Okay, well then, okay, so you haven't exactly been thrilled then, but you're paying your dues. Got it. All right. When does that new job start?
Hopefully by the beginning of February.
Okay. Because I think you'll find that when you're doing something you love, time flies. You know what I'm saying? It's you don't notice it as much. It's not as painful. It's not the kind of thing where you should come home crying. Like, I have been exhausted, but if I'm loving what I'm doing, I might be wiped out, but if I'm loving what I'm doing... It doesn't tend to bring me to tears.
Well, I don't know if it's emotional tears as much as just tears start coming out of my eyes because I'm that
tired.
Freaking tired.
Okay. You know? How many hours are you sleeping a night?
8.
Something's
no less.
Something's not right here, kiddo. You're sleeping 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. More on the weekends.
And more on the weekends, and you're working how many hours in your day?
9, and then I have a 2-hour, 1-hour commute each way.
Okay, so it's an 11-hour day. All right, is it a particularly intense, stressful job?
It is. It's really stressful because I work in news and I'm an editor and I'm reading all day.
Oh, okay. Okay, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I remember a story that Steve Jobs was telling, irony of all ironies. It was a speech I think he was giving at Stanford to students that were graduating, and he was saying, a really good litmus test is when you wake up every morning and you say, if I was going to die today, would this be how I want to spend my day? And if you wake up too many days in a row and the answer is no, this is not how I want to spend my day, you need to make a change. And I realize that as I've gotten older, I've begun to live my life that way. And if I wake up enough days in a row, unhappy, unfulfilled, I know that I'm not going to be able to kind of get around it. I know I need to make a change or a course correction. So my hope is that this new job is going to make you feel less exhausted, is going to be less draining, less stressful, so that you are happier and able to function better. And if it doesn't, then again, there might be the consideration of another career. Is it possible, by the way, that you could move closer to this job and save yourself these 2 hours in the day? just from a practical standpoint? Yeah.
I live in the city. I work downtown, but it's still just traffic. And I mean, the sad thing is that everybody does it. So everybody around me is always like miserable and cranky and feeling like this.
Yeah.
But aww. I like try to block that out because I'm like, I can't have that in my head. I can't hear that all day long. So right. I'm going to make this train ride as great as possible. Like, I'll listen to a podcast or I'll read a book. I don't want to think about how shitty the commute is
yep.
while I'm doing it.
You can't, and you can't get around it. You can't move closer. Not an option.
I mean, some days it's great. Some days it's a 30-minute commute in and out, you know, but because it's a big city and there's congestion, and besides moving downtown, which is really expensive, there isn't much more you can do.
I don't know. I'm thinking that it might be worth the money. Because if you really think about that, that's 10 hours of your life that you're getting back in a week.
That's true.
Which is 40 hours a month. I mean, for you to get that drink or to get in that time to exercise or to read.
Get that drink.
Girl, well, I don't know. You want to, you know what I'm saying? Sounds like you need one, too. I mean, boy, oh, boy. If anybody needs a drink, kid, it sounds like you.
Well, I'm working with a trainer, and he's taught me how bad alcohol is for me and to cut it out completely, and I feel fine without it.
Cut it out completely. I mean, the guy's a monster. He doesn't need to be. I don't cut it out completely, for goodness sake. I mean, it's okay if you're not abusing alcohol, you're not binge drinking, you don't have a problem, and you're 29 and you want to go for a cocktail at happy hour, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's going to be okay. You know?
I'm so fascinated that you went straight to, like, it's a kind of emotional issue, job issue, as opposed to the diet and exercise.
No, that's not what I'm hearing from you. You're not a person that needs to lose weight. You're a person that's not finding time for yourself. And you're asking the same question that I think we all ask, where it's like, what the hell am I doing this for? You're like a rat on a wheel. I mean, I got to a point where I was like, I have no life. I work all the time. What is the point of working this much if I'm not enjoying my life? People need time to stop and smell the roses. That's why we work. To afford ourselves the ability to have the drink with friends, go on the weekend away, stop and smell the roses, buy ourselves something nice once in a while, get a massage. Or what is the point? A life needs balance. You're living a life with no balance right now, and you're friggin' miserable over it. And I think understandably so. You've got to find a way to get that joy back in your life. And I think those 10 hours a week, if we can buy them back, are worth the money. I really do. And
I'm fascinated. Really fascinated.
I'm just saying, sweetie, it's like you've got to reprioritize those dollars, you know? And I mean, I'm glad we like the trainer, but I also don't think you need to be like no alcohol whatsoever. I don't believe in anything that's a black or white kind of mentality. Unless, of course, you said, I have a problem with alcohol. It runs in my family. Then I'd say, ooh, yeah, no, maybe
I
no.
I think he was just trying to make the point of showing me you don't need to be drinking all the time like you have been, because over the summer when I first met him, it was like I had to write down every single thing I was eating for him.
Right.
And every day there was drinks. So I've learned that I don't need that on a day-to-day basis.
No, and of course not. But
I just want to go out for a drink once in a while and socialize.
And I think that's fine. Of course. Sure. What you need to do is you need to start thinking about, okay, one night a week, I'm going to go out for a drink with my friends. 3 times a week, I'm going to get in a workout. And you're going to say, okay, well, I'm good on the weekends for at least, one of these 2 days. I'll get one in on a lunch hour and one in after work. And it's like, but at the same time, you got to start, it's either a new job or it's saying to your boss, like, I'm going to do this part from home, or it's moving closer into the job. And I really don't give a crap what other people do. I don't care if, quote, everyone does it. Have you not heard that the masses of men lead lives of quiet desperation? Thoreau.
Yeah, those are all the people I work with.
Right. I hear you. Yeah, because we're like, we are all, like living in the goddamn matrix. It's like we all are like, this is what we do. We're sheeps. We're lambs to the slaughter. But you don't need to buy into that. You can break the rules. You can't change the pattern because it isn't working for you. You shouldn't be coming home every day in tears, sleeping 8 hours a day and yet feeling so exhausted that you can't muster. You're depressed, honey. That's what's going on with you. You are depressed. I'm pretty sure of it. You are so exhausted, you can't find any time to do anything fun or good for yourself. You work all the time, and you come home in tears. That doesn't sound like you're depressed to you?
I mean, I don't really know much about depression, I guess, so...
Well, I'm not saying, like, you know, you lock yourself in your room and want to cut your wrists. That's not what I'm saying, but you are definitely... Sounds to me like you're in a low-grade depression here. You're feeling like, oh my God, you know, where is the hope in this? Where is the light at the end of my tunnel?
Yeah,
what is the point?
Definitely. That is exactly.
That's emotional.
I've said
that
before.
I really feel strongly that yes, you're being drained physically at work, but but you're also not being fulfilled. You're not being rejuvenated. You don't have a tremendous passion for this. So, like, when you're passionate about something, it rejuvenates you. It energizes you. There's a flow. There's a currency to it. You put it out, it comes back in. You put it out, it comes back in. Nothing's coming back in.
There's a currency to it. I love that.
But you're not, there's nothing coming back in for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just had like a light bulb go off when you said that. Because I like to see, I don't know, that gives me a really visual image in my head.
Right.
What's wrong. And that really helps. Like on the way home from work today, I couldn't stop yawning. And I didn't have a particularly intense work day, but I remember thinking to myself, what the hell is this all about? I have 2 more days left in a week. You know, I can't afford to be tired right now. And my job isn't giving me that back, you know?
No. And you've got to find a way to give it back to yourself. And that means that you might have to sacrifice a little bit of extra dough to move into the city or cut certain things out that maybe you don't need, like gossip rags or, you know, the $5 coffee every day or whatever it might be. Maybe we cut the trainer back to once a week or whatever, because it sounds like you're a pretty competent girl. You don't have weight to lose. I'm pretty sure you could probably take a spin class and get your burn in for $10 instead of 50, 60, 70, whatever the trainer. Not that I'm trying to throw your trainer under the bus. I think... But I'm just saying,
you know,
I think that there's a way for you to reprioritize those dollars. And you really need to start thinking about how you're going to begin nurturing yourself. I went through everything you're going through and I began to hate my work. And I was like, oh, my God, this is not good. Like, because I was resenting it. I was resenting it because I was thinking all I do is work. I never travel. I never see friends. I never go out. And my friends were always like, oh, buddy, we're going to the X Games. Come. I'm like, no, I got to work. Oh, my God, we're going to see so-and-so play at the Greek. Come. Oh, no, I got to work. Oh, my God, we're all going to go out Friday night. So-and-so is opening a new club. No, I got to work.
And meanwhile, you were like 22 years old.
All the way. Even up until, I mean, honestly, even up until, gosh, I want to say even 35. And at 35, I was like, this is enough. And that's when I began traveling more. Like, I was like, no, I'm going to travel my butt off. You know, I'm going to go to Africa and I'm going to go to Japan and I'm going to go to France and I'm going to make the time in my life. And I'm going to start
that
saying no to things.
That's not something I'm afraid of. I could definitely say that because I feel so happy when I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. I could totally plug into that feeling. It doesn't matter where I am. I can plug into that feeling anywhere. I could be on the bus and think of the last time I went to, like, Greece or something, and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy. And I just feel totally transported. So if taking a risk and making these changes is going to get me that feeling on a daily basis, if this is what you're telling me is possible on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely, sweetie, but you got to make that time. So what you need to do is you need to say, you know what's going to make me feel awesome tonight? I'm going to go get a foot massage for $20 at the little Korean place down the street with my friend. You know, I have one of those and I have a little buddy there. And,
totally.
And then I love her. She's so cute. We sit there and we shoot the breeze. And, you know, talk about our kids. And it's like, it's my favorite thing. I go and I hide there and no one knows who I am. It's awesome. Or it's like,
well, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it big. Like, I want to change the career path, you know, not...
Yes. Make it something you love. Follow your passion. That's what you need to do. You need to do something that rewards you and fulfills you. And by the way, remember, it can't all be work because I love my work. But if it's all work all the time, You got to make time for those little things. It could be even having a dinner with friends. It could be getting in that yoga class. It could be getting that foot massage. But you have to start giving back. You can't be putting out all the time. Remember, it's like you got to put out, it's got to come in. You got to put out, it's got to come in. We give, we take. We give, we take. Your life has no balance. You've got to bring balance.
I love you for saying this because I was like, is it because I was drinking too much soda? I cut out all
no.
the soda.
No, 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 no. I mean, no, I don't, that's not it, honey. It's
I come home and I'm still like half dead.
It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that.
I'm happy it is, though, because now I can work on this. This is actually, I can control this.
Yes, you absolutely can. And sometimes all we need is a little permission to put ourselves first because it's so counter to our cultural, you know, you see it. But everyone's miserable, Jillian. Oh, okay. Oh, good. Well, oh, jump right in.
So you've heard this before.
I mean, oh, dude, I've been there before.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get it. It's like you can break that chain. You can be the one that steps out and says no. Just because everybody else is the lamb in the slaughter doesn't mean you have to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have a little sister. Whenever you talk about your little sister, I'm always like, oh, I have to turn it up. Because she's 16. She's around the age where she's looking for schools and things. And whenever I'm around her, I'm super conscious, like hyper conscious of how I'm acting, what I'm doing, like, being responsible enough. Am I giving her like a bad, I don't know, vibe? Like, I don't ever want her to feel like this. So I try really hard to be
set that example.
Yeah. So, and then when you're saying this to me, that it's not anything like working out or what I'm eating that's wrong. It's
no, babe.
It's the situation of my life.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like, oh my God, the biggest thing I needed to take responsibility for. And I'm not doing it. And what if she was doing the same thing that I was doing? It would break my heart.
Well, you know what? You bring up a really good point. One thing that I used to say to parents all the time that I've actually forgotten is, would you treat your kid the way you treat yourself? Would you deprive them of playtime? Would you?
Oh,
would,
no.
Would, yeah, exactly. Would you
I wouldn't do anything for her?
Would you skip their doctor's appointments? Would you keep them from their friends? Would you deprive them of sleep? Would you, would you burn the candle on both ends? And you know what I mean? Same thing. You should treat yourself the way you would treat your little sister, your kid. Same thing.
That's crazy.
It's actually not, honey.
It's such a huge leap from where I am right now, but I'm...
And that's why you're in tears every day.
Yeah.
Because it's not your truth. And it's no way to live your life. And thank God you're figuring this out at a young age.
Do you think 29 is young to figure it out?
Oh, I could reach through this microphone and punch you. Yes.
No, honestly. Because everyone's like got their timeline of when things should happen in their head.
Yeah.
I've never really had that. But I definitely feel pressure from other people.
You've got your whole life ahead of you. And even if you were 50, I would tell you you were young to figure it out. Because you have your whole life to implement those changes. You have years, 70 years at least, to live a full, awesome rock and roll life. So start.
I mean, I do on Saturday and Sunday.
That's not enough, kid. Little bit every day. Okay?
That's so true. Yes.
All right, buddy.
I really appreciate it. Thank
My
you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Love you, Jillian. Have a good night.
Oh, thank you. We love you, too.
Bye, Dennis.
Bye, Des. Thanks for calling.
Cute. Look how cute she is. She's a cutie.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.